Welcome to Mosaics in Your Life's podcast. I'm Mary Przinski here with my co-host David Magner. Today we will be speaking with Harold Spitzfaden from Senior Care Authority. He will be telling us about a program called Beyond Driving with Dignity. Thank you, Harold, for being here with us today. Let's get started and talk about the origin of the program.
Well, it's an interesting origin. It started with a state trooper in Ohio, Matt Gerwell, who after 20 years of service retired and was wondering what he would like to do next. And he thought to give back, he would create a company that would address the issues that he had seen over the course of his 20 years of horrific senior car accidents. So he started a company. And interestingly enough, Senior Care Authority is a national firm, and my colleagues across the country began using his services, and we began hearing about it on our best practices calls, and we all decided this is a service we should all be providing. It's so valuable. And so we bought the company, and Matt Gerwell is now in charge of this whole service in our company. So it's an interesting start of how we got involved in this program.
Great. And so, Harold, can you describe some of the more important aspects of the program?
Yeah, you know, the first one I'll start with is the self-evaluation. What the most important part of this, when you think of the name of the program, it's Beyond Driving with Dignity. And it's the objective is to keep the dignity of the senior intact. So when I meet with a senior, I often emphasize at first in terms of that this is a chance for them to self-evaluate whether, in fact, they should be behind the wheel of a car. And it's not unlike a hearing test, an eye test, an annual checkup. It's for them personally to assume that understanding of whether they should be behind the wheel of a car. The second important aspect of it is the in-depth work that we do to attain our conclusions. It's a physical and mental assessment. It starts with about 2 or 3 hours of what we refer to it as learning conversation. It can be as simple as tell me about your first car and so on and so forth. And then it moves up to the fact of, well, have you had any car accidents? Have you had any police reports? Have you gotten lost in the course of your driving? There's road testing signs, and also there's cognitive testing, mazes, drawing clocks, writing paragraphs to see the nature of their handwriting and their ability to formulate sentences and paragraphs. So at the end of 3 hours, I can come up with a pretty good conclusion as to whether they should be behind the wheel of a car or whether they should have a restricted situation or whether they should consider giving up the keys to their car.
And what if they refuse to give up the keys? What do you do for that?
Well, normally what we hope, you know, through the process of working with the families that the senior will conclude that they will give up the keys to the car. They usually, between the conversations, it's not the first time they've had that issue raised. And between the report that I do and the reports that maybe they obtain from the other professionals, whether it be neurologists or whatever, collectively, there's enough evidence and ability to convince the senior to give up the keys to the car. But in fact, if they do not want to give up the keys to the car, then there are other alternatives to assist in the process. One would be in a small town, generally the police are very observant. You can actually go to the police and actually ask them to keep a watch out for the car that your senior drives and you know, give them a license plate that if they see something to make sure that they address the issue. If it gets more serious, they can also send my report to the DMV and ask for a reevaluation. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, again, they can also send my report to the insurance company have them look at it, which will probably result in an increased premium or a cancellation of the policy, which will again be more reinforcement of the fact that you can't be on the highway without insurance. So more often than not, we're successful in the process, but over time, if necessary, there are other alternatives that the family can resort to.
Yeah,
I have somewhat experience in this area, and I've heard a lot of people kind of do the same sort of thing, which is take a piece out of the car, hide the keys, those sort of things. Those are, you know, yours are more professional for sure, but these are other alternatives that I've experienced or heard of people experiencing. So
absolutely, and that's often, you know, a softer approach if they can if they want to do that.
Sure. I mean, giving up the keys to your car is a significant event for most individuals. So how do you address the question of when someone says, I'm losing a part of my independence?
Yes, I have a lot of empathy in this area. The seniors that I come in contact with have been exposed to a lot of things in their lives at this point in their life, whether they've lost loved ones or whatever. And so it's a very difficult area. But what I try to emphasize is that it's not a loss of independence. It's a loss of convenience. And what I mean by that is it's nice to be able to jump into your car and drive to a meeting. But fortunately today, there are a lot of alternatives to that. And that would be friends and family. And I really emphasize friends and family because it's amazing how people step up when you go to meetings and they realize that you can't come anymore because you can't drive. They'll raise their hand and pick you up. And I have a personal story on that with my mother. We had an agreement that she would give up the keys of the car if she had an incident. And she did have the incident in a local neighborhood, fortunately, where she stepped on the gas instead of the pedal, the brake. And she wound up in the middle of an intersection and no accident. It was a local road. But she called me immediately and said, you know, Harold, I'm not going to drive anymore. I almost had an accident today. But the point of that story is that, and it was long before I had was involved in this program, where she made the comment after about a year. She said, you know, Harold, I've met more people having given up the keys to my car because I met more people in meetings that I went to. My hairdresser picks me up. And so at the end of the day, it was so interesting that what she thought was a loss of independence really was an enhancement of her life in terms of her connectivity with other people.
Right. So do you have any other stories, personal stories that you can tell? So people maybe that are listening can relate other than your mother, of course, that's like,
well, you know, another example of that is a fellow that I was working with who had early stage Parkinson's, and he was very upset about giving up the keys to the car. But when we had the discussion, it really came down to how much time was he actually spending on the road? And it was very minimal. It was about an hour and a half a week, maybe 6 hours a month. It was just a 10-minute, 15-minute ride. Again, very convenient, nice to jump in your car. But at the end of the day, when we talked about the issues that involve getting behind a car, which is a lethal weapon, on the roads, of, you know, the accidents that can take place, people that can get hurt. Was it really worth it? The liability for your family, was it really worth those couple of hours? And he, in hindsight, thinking through that, and that's one of the benefits of our program, is when we get into the details of these things, it helps the senior. Again, I go back to, this is about self-evaluation. This is all about helping him or her think about what they're doing, the implications of what they're doing, and whether they should be continuing to drive. And when we have those kind of discussions, it enables them a chance to think about it. And in his case, after our meetings, he concluded, and he had a wonderful wife who was in our family discussions at the end of it, at the end of the program, that was volunteering more, you know, that she would be willing to drive. And at the end of the day, he gave up the keys to his car and he donated it to a charity. So that was a very good success story. And I have to say it's most often the case in terms of the senior really just having a chance to not only be himself thinking about what's going on, but have the family weigh in. As I said, one of the advantages of our program is after the 3 hours I spend with the senior, what's really important in the program is I always have the family come in after I have a discussion with the senior to tell them the results of my tests and what the conclusions are. I tell the exact same conclusions to the family, and it enables the family, the senior, and myself to have a very important conversation in terms of allowing the family to say things that maybe they were hesitant to say individually with the senior or whatever. And also it enables me to respond to questions. For example, in those conversations, sometimes the senior will bring up the excuses for why he or her feel that way. They'll say, well, Harold, you know, I've never had a car accident. And I can respond to that and help the family in the sense that I said, well, you know, I'm not here about the prior driving of yourself, but I'm worried about the future. And the prior, you know, your history isn't necessarily an indication of your future. And what we have to worry about is your future driving skills based on your mental and physical capabilities today. It's very helpful to have those conversations, and they really enable the senior to hopefully come to a rational conclusion in terms of whether they should be behind the wheel of a car.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's really helping them give a voice in the decision-making process, which I think is such an important value, especially for individuals who may be going through a diagnosis or loss. There's been so much taken from them, so they want to feel like they can still make these important decisions for themselves as well.
You know, David, that's why I love this program, because it really captures that. It captures that feeling to the senior in terms of, you know, what the fact that they're going so much through their life at that point in time, to have the keys taken away. As we all know, we love our cars and been driving since we were 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And to give that up, I mean, I can personally vouch for, I can feel that pain of giving up your keys to your car. But it is a program that allows the senior to, as you said, be part of that decision-making process. And at the end of the day, the optimal thing is that not only be part of, but be the decision maker.
Correct.
That's the home run of this program.
Absolutely.
After starting, I start that three-hour program, and I don't know the senior, but I get to know the senior, and I have those conversations, and we have those tests, and I have my copious notes that I use to support my conclusions, because sometimes the senior will push back, and I'll say, well, you know, just so you know, let's look at the clock, or let's look at this maze, or, you know, you got five signs wrong in the road signs, or, you know, you have a cognitive skill, a memory situation involved with you. You didn't remember, you know, what year it is, or who the president is, or whatever. And what I worry about is when you come into an intersection, or making a left turn, and you have to draw on those skill sets, it's worrisome. And one of the other things that's really important about this program is testing the cognitive skill set, because people think it's just physical that's probably the biggest issue. But it's really the mental memory issues, because most car accidents happen when seniors get lost. Mm-hmm. They you know, they'll tell me in a conversation, you know, Harold, I drive just around the neighborhood. That's correct. But what I'm worried about is the fact that you can't remember where you are, and you wind up in an area, an intersection or something where you are not familiar with, and it's going to create the chance for you to have a car accident. That's really, really important. And there's so many cases that we go through where people not only get lost, you know, a couple blocks away, but in other towns. Mm-hmm. And there are cases where they wind up in another state. Yeah. So it's the memory situation is really is so important. There's a case that we talk about all the time where and it just came out of the Ohio police story, where the people lived in Ohio. They were farmers. They used to go visit their kids. They all became farmers in the same area. The parents would visit them every Sunday. Same roads, no traffic. And one day they forgot to stop at a road sign, and wound up having a horrific car accident. So the memory skills are so important in addition to the physical skills.
Yeah, definitely.
So Harold, let's say I'm listening to this podcast right now. Yes. And I say, you know what, I would like to learn more, and I want to be part of the Beyond Driving with Dignity. You've talked about a little bit of the elements of what you do. How long on average does it take to work with one individual?
That's a good question. The program is scheduled for 3 hours. So what I do is I normally like to come be in a familiar situation. I generally do it at the home if they're in a community an independent or assisted living community. They'll set aside a room for me, but something where the senior is comfortable, because I want this, again, this is not a authoritarian test. This is a, I'm working with you. I want to be part of your decision-making process and help you through that process. So I generally come to the home, let's just assume it's a residence, and work in the dining room and a kitchen, really low key. I spend generally 2.5. It's really, but you know, it's up to 3 hours because we have, as I said, we have a an organized set of questions. This is a very formalized program. It's not just a conversation. I have a formal set of questions that hit on all the key elements of this mental test of how you're doing. And then at the end of the 3 hours, I spend, which will include the conversation with the senior in terms of what my conclusions are. But then when I bring the family in, that can be anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. And I really hope it's an hour, because that's where the gist of the question comes in, of whether the senior should be driving and how the family feels. And I'm the third party. I can be the bad guy in terms of the family being able to say, you know, dad, mom, This fellow is a professional. He does this every day. And, it just helps to pull all of the program together and make it poignant for the senior to come to the conclusion. Again, his or her conclusion, hopefully, that's the optimal of saying, you know, maybe I shouldn't we be behind the wheel of a car?
Yeah, and taking it off the family, because that's right. Yeah, they think they're the bad guy, but then you become in and you're the bad guy.
All along, up until sometimes there hasn't been a conversation, which was even worse.
Mm-hmm. You know,
sometimes people
right.
are afraid. I mean, again, this could be the father, the mother. I mean, no one wants to insult. No one wants to have that delicate conversation. But it's often not the first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, families are families, and people will say, you got to give up. So, but it does give them a chance to step back and say, you know, this is not just us. And then what I was alluding to before, David, with, you know, the ability to, you know, conclude on this and have the senior conclude on this, is like, we're required to, within 10 days, to do a 6-page write-up. So it's a very detailed write-up in terms of how we came to our conclusions. And that report is really important, because that's the report you can use to do other draconian kind of measures if, in fact, you're not hiding the keys, or, you know, leaving the car in a fix-it shop or something of that nature. But that program, that can run about an hour. So at the end of the day, generally 2.5 to 4 hours between the actual work with the senior and the family conversations. And then obviously the extra time I spend in writing the report, which has to be done within 10 days.
So how do our listeners get in touch with you regarding the program? And can you discuss maybe possibly what the fee is as well?
Okay. So my company is Senior Care Authority. And my cell number is 203-658-6351. My email is Harold, H-A-R-O-L-D, at Senior Care Authority, all one word, .com. And our website is www.seniorcare-fairfield-westchester.com.
Great. And the fee?
And the fee is $450 for the meetings with the seniors, with the family, and also including the 6-page write-up.
Great.
Well, worth it for, you know, somebody's
Absolutely.
Safety. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Harold, thank you so much for speaking with Mary and I on today's podcast and really detailing the benefits of the Beyond Driving with Dignity program. We greatly appreciate all your work and effort.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and hopefully it reaches the seniors and helps them in their decision-making process, and whether to be behind the wheel of a car. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast for Mosaic Senior Life. Please stay tuned for additional episodes on topics that are meaningful to you. In the meantime, please call us at 833-MSL-LINK, 833-MSL-LINK, that's 833-675-5465, or contact us at mosaicsl.org. That's Mosaic with a Z, S as in senior, L as in life, .org, mosaicsl.org, for more information on any of our services.